180 days, 17 minutes, and 38 seconds. That is how long that I have been absent from Radio Laurier's Talk the Hawk. It's November 3rd. I'm so happy to be back. I'm joined by my co-host here, Mateo. Mateo, first year BBA?
Yep, first year. Good to be here.
Fresh blood, and you're getting right involved with the program.
For sure. Radio Laurier. I felt like, you know, you got to hop in earlier rather than later.
Yeah, so I'm a third-year academic student, of course. For those of you who don't recognize my voice, it's Connor Gadd coming to you live from the Radio Laurier studio. Like I said, sophomore season as far as Radio Laurier goes. I'm feeling good. I called a game on, that was Wednesday night. I know you've called a couple hockey games. How's it been so far?
It's been pretty good. I called one just last night. It was Laurier TMU men's hockey. Pretty good game.
Were the nerves firing like they were for me, like the first couple times? Like I did it. I know I was like just incredibly on edge, I guess. But like also, there's an excitement factor because like if you mess up, it's kind of
yeah. If you mess up, it's embarrassing. But the first time I went, I was like, okay, you know, hop into it. I shadowed Ross in his first, on my first shadowing venture, okay. And then so that was the second game I'd watch, but the first one I'd be on the. On the mic for, and I was pretty nervous. I was kind of shaking, could feel the headphones rattling on my head, and it's cold there too, so you're like shivering as well.
Yeah, the other thing you don't realize too is that for me doing a lot of the like calling the basketball games, right, you're up there and it's streaming out to who knows who, right? A lot of these people that are watching are the parents of the other team, so you got to kind of be mindful of like how biased you are as far as like I would compare myself to a Boston Celtics color commentator, and then I'm just an absolute homer for the Golden Hawks, which of course like I will be, but I try to play both sides as far as, you know, giving credit to the other team when they do something good and not just ripping on the Golden Hawks.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. Like I was trying to be, you know, kind of neutral, you know, kind of fair. And I remember there was this one play, I think you know, there's a cross check or something, and the guy went down really hard. I started talking about him diving, and I'm like, well, I hope that, you know, his family isn't listening.
So. And there's a good chance that family would be listening, because I received an email last year, one negative, one positive, and I will say the negative stuck with me a little bit more, basically highlighting the fact that I was, and it was actually, I think it was a Laurier complaint that I wasn't being positive enough, but I'm sorry, like, I'm not going to hide who I am on the broadcast. Like, I'm sure I'm a little bit more casual in the studio, but as far as just becoming a shell of myself on the microphone and on the broadcast, I'm not gonna do that.
No, that's fair. I feel like, you know, as I've started, or, you know, just starting, I'm kind of, you know, neutral, like, you know, just observing what I see. But I think as each game goes on, like, more of the personality is gonna come out. Like
100%.
I was being a bit more witty in the second one. I feel like, you know, you're gonna start to get more loose.
Yeah, riffing just back and forth is the best way to do it.
Exactly.
I'll tell you, because I hosted a lot of shows last year. And, you know, it goes fine. You got lots going on throughout, of course, all first semester, second semester, things happening, regular season, playoffs. And then you hit about March 13th, 14th, and things just slow down. I hosted, like, two or three shows that, I mean, I can come up with content. It might not be the most interesting, but it got a little bit slow. So I'm so happy to be back in the mix, just in the swing of the OUA seasons for all sports. I'm invested in like swimming, cross country. I'm keeping up with. Of course, I do the basketball, hockey. I'll follow along with, and then, of course, one thing we're gonna dive in today is football, because we got the upcoming matchup against the Windsor Lancers tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Yeah, big game.
So I've always been jealous. I've always been jealous of the schools from the south. You got like the Michigans, the Alabamas, the Ohio States. They tailgate these games. They go. It's 100,000 seat stadium is sold out, and it's just electric. You see the Michigan Wolverines singing Mr. Brightside, like, no, just completely a cappella, and it looks pretty cool. But now we got a little bit of that juice for ourselves. We're in the OUA semifinals. We're taking on a team we've beat before. Hopefully we can get some juice out there tomorrow at University Stadium.
Yeah, like, the turnout in the States is definitely, like, crazy. Like, you know, you see all those videos, and it's just completely packed. It looks like a professional league game, but I'm not even gonna lie, like, coming here, being a first year, the crowd watching, you know, football games, even hockey games, like, obviously there's a disparity in terms of crowd, but it's still it's still way more packed and like, you know, vivacious than I thought it would be.
Yeah, football's got a lot of hype around them right now, as they should. They're have one loss on their record, and they're heading into the playoffs now, or they've won their first playoff game. Hockey is a little bit more of a challenge because the rink is located. It's not even that far, but you got Waterloo Park kind of separating campus and the rink, that it just makes it seem further than it is. So attendance has always been a little bit of an issue, but that's good hockey. At the end of the day, it's pretty high level hockey.
Yeah. So, you know, the people who show up to the hockey games, like, they're going to show up to every single one. Like, they're traveling with the team, just going deep. So they're committed.
Like, I play on the golf team, and my assistant coach never misses a game. He says it's the best kept secret in all of university or Ontario sports, is because he can see such high level hockey for $5 a ticket and go into an empty rink.
Yeah. And I just kind of tell them, yeah, I'm with Radio Laurier, and they just kind of let me in. Yeah, $5 discount.
That's like flash some badge.
Flash the credentials.
I don't even have any identification. The unfortunate situation for me is we got, so you're in BBA.
I am in BBA.
So that's been going, it's been outgoing okay, I hope.
It's been going. I'm on the good end of it.
All right. So I got finance 2 tomorrow. I'm also in BBA. Got finance 2 tomorrow at 5 p.m. The studying has not been, it's been lacking a little bit. So we can't, I might try to squeeze in for like a half or a quarter or something. But as far as going to the entire game, I'm working in the morning. So we just can't really be at the whole game. But I swear, if they win, if Windsor gives Laurier the dub, or Laurier goes out and takes it from them, I will be making the trek to London. I'm 100% going to see that.
It's going to be crazy. Are you going to be better, like, to not be able to catch the whole thing, though?
Pardon me?
Are you going to be better, like, if you don't catch the whole thing?
I'll be especially better if they lose. I'll be very disappointed in myself. Because I wish I would have, like, managed my time better so I could have gone and watched.
Me, plus, I feel like if a team loses, and but it's a team I'm rooting for, like, I'll be more glad that I didn't see it, like, if I miss it.
I suppose I just feel bad that I haven't been to, like, the golf season was so busy for me that I wasn't able to catch a game, and right. I really want to go. I watched Waterloo's playoff game, or Laurier Waterloo playoff game, like, on the OUA TV stream, which was fine, but I need to be in person for at least one game, and for it to be a Yates Cup, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but that would be special.
Yeah, the streams are good, but, like, obviously it doesn't hit the same. You don't have the aura of being there in person.
100%. And I say make the trek to London, but of course there is another side to the playoff bracket, right? Western is taking on Queens. If you look at the stat sheet, the record, and everything like that, you would expect Western to kind of steamroll them, but I guess it kind of depends on that QB for Queens.
Yeah, but you're banking on that London trip.
I am banking on the London trip. Alex Vreeken, I'm from Kingston, by the way. So also Mateo and I just met, so we're gonna be going back and forth.
Yeah, for sure.
Get to know each other.
Bit of a backstory.
Alex Vreeken is the quarterback of Queens University. He got hurt earlier on in the year. I grew up playing basketball with this guy. He's a freak athlete.
Oh, so you know.
So they've been starting this guy named Russell Weir. 5'11", kind of unspectacular stat line. Haven't really seen too much out of him. So if Alex is playing, that's going to be that'll change things in terms of the dynamic, because that is, of course, a rivalry. Western's gotten the better of them in the past decade and a half or so. But we'll have to see. Hopefully it is in London. I can just make the quick trip down there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Make a little trip, catch a game, an excuse to go to London. I'm not really a London fan, though.
We had nationals in London in May for, like, our national Golf Canada golf tournament or whatever. It's a little, it gets a little grimy down there in the downtown parts.
It's just like, I've got some family down there. I go down there sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just such a great place. Like, I can't see myself like, oh, let's go to London recreationally.
100%. Also, I'm saying that as a member, as a Kingstonian. And if anyone's been to Queens or went back for HOCO or anything like that, you've seen that Kingston's getting a little bit, it's such a small city that the bad parts show a little bit
that's more true.
Prominently. So, but Queen? London, like, if I'm going to Western campus, I don't know, we're going to watch a football game, we're going to watch Laurier win. Hopefully Taylor Elgersma can be a part of that. He's leading all U sports right now with 330 pass yards a game. ridiculous fantasy numbers. I don't know if you play fantasy football or fantasy hockey, but
fantasy football and fantasy hockey both broke me last year, so I'm retired for this year.
Oh damn.
Yeah, no. Tyreek Hill kind of made me lose the championship. Because, you know, he was cooking all season. I think it was maybe like two seasons ago. Just cooking. I needed like 10 points out of him. I was like on ESPN Fantasy. Yeah. I needed 10 points out of him, and he gets like 9.8 or something on the last on the last week. I was so bitter. I deleted the app. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, just you gotta evolve in your life. Evolve past, you know, fantasy. And that's what spurred my evolution, I would say.
Okay, so what's your next new thing with sports?
My next new thing
with sports. Or is this it right now, what we're doing?
I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, you see those betting ads and it just makes you wonder.
We'll talk about that later in the show because, like, that's something I want to get into. I have some strong thoughts on the whole FanDuel recruitment, aggressive recruiting tactics.
I've got some as well.
Okay, we'll get into it later. Other than that, from Laurier Football, we got Quentin Scott rushing for about 90 a game. Ethan Jordan catching like a roughly six balls for 100 yards a game. So offensively, it hasn't really seemed to be the issue. Even when they did play Western a couple weeks ago, they did have a slow start, but then they rattled off four touchdowns in the span of less than a quarter. So hopefully they can just keep that rolling. They beat Windsor already this season, 40-7. So hopefully Laurier can just make no mistake and just be the legit program that they are.
Yeah, just got to get her done.
As far as Laurier basketball goes, I had the privilege of calling the women's team the other day. The women's team not losing a single grad except for this one girl who went to play at UW, but she was hurt all last season. So they're kind of coming in a lot stronger, the women are. They did lose a close one to Mac. Mac had lost. Sarah Gates, of course, who averaged basically 80 points a game, which is pretty spectacular. So the woman trending, of course, they had a pretty good preseason, lost a close one, which was disappointing. And then I stuck around to watch the men's game. I don't know if you caught any of that.
The men's one, I caught a bit of the start of it and a bit of the end of it as well. I know it ended on that shot. I think it ended on the air ball.
Yeah, Vener Gavrikidin. First of all, Tay Donald had a shot for three with about 4 seconds left. Barely missed it. We got the rebound, kicked it out to Benher, and then it was it was an air ball, I guess you would say.
Yeah, that's
not a good one.
It's rough.
A little frustrated. They've had games, like, I remember they played Queens last year. They had games where they were playing, and it's like, your team should win right now. Laurier should win. You just close out this game, play smart. Let's get a win. If they had the Ethan Passley injury on Wednesday night, which was unfortunate. But as far as just closing these games out, and I know it's early in the season. It's kind of early to get on them as far as, like, they haven't shown any patterns of doing this. But just a game, I bet you Coach Suresh really wish he got.
Yeah, I feel like that's the worst. Like, it's, you know, teams you should – you know, be beating, and then it's too close for comfort the whole game. And just pull ahead at the end. That's the worst.
Yeah, so kind of the trend for Laurier basketball, at least the men's squad in the last year or so. But as far as that goes, any updates on the hockey front? I haven't been as tuned in.
Hockey? So they lost. So I covered their last two games, last two home games. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, men's hockey. And so they played Nipissing Lakers. That was a home game before the last one. And it was just, they just don't get going, like, quick enough. And so they let them, you know, lots of power plays, giving Nipissing a lot of, like, offensive opportunities. And then just by the time Laurier gets it together, they just couldn't come over that hump. And so, but they played, like, similar games, I felt like. Both had a lot of chances off the rush. And it was just, you know, it was really similar. Nipissing's goalie was crazy. That was just, like, a wall for them all game. So that was good. That was my first game covering. And so that was, you know, watching two similar teams, it's easy to, like, kind of pick up on, you know, the tendencies on both sides of the ice. So that was good.
Now, what about our goaltending? Is Christian Propp in that?
Yeah, Christian Propp. And so he was doing good as well. He only allowed two.
Okay.
It was, I think it was in the second period. He left the game for, like, a little bit. And we still don't know if he was like injured, if it was like an equipment like malfunction. We were actually talking about it the next game. But then he came back for the third, and he didn't let in another, but they scored an empty netter. So it was 3-1, I believe, for okay. Nipissing.
There's a new goalie. So I run, like, athlete study hall, and there was a new goalie in nets. I'm trying to find his name here.
When Prop left the game, he was replaced by Ventislav Shingarov.
Yeah, that's him. What did he tell me to call him? There was some sort of nickname. Anyway, he played in the Q for a couple of years, and he was just a really nice guy, saying that he was going to embrace the friendly spirit of competing against his fellow goalie, even though Prop's been here for 3 years.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. But Prop was like, he was insane against TMU yesterday because he faced, I think it was 45 shots, or maybe north of 45. He let in just the one, and it was in the third. And it was just like, you really wanted him to get that shutout. But
and they got that win.
They got the win. TMU looked crazy in the first period, just high pace offense. But then in the second and the third, Laurier just started to come back, just started to even the shots out. And Prop was just insane for them. So, yeah, it was definitely. You think that Prop in that game against Nipissing, he was kind of outshone. It was Reese Prue, the goalie for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And so then Prop in that second game just like gets the spotlight back on him. It was really good.
And hockey's a long season too, right? Like they started October 5th, lost to Waterloo, then won 6-3 against Western. Then they went on a 3-game slide, got it back against Carleton with a win. And then they have had 3 since that. Of course, last finishing. It's a marathon of a season
for real, and they're actually on a 6-0 like undefeated streak against TMU, which is pretty interesting. And we were talking about that on the broadcast, but yeah, they play quite a few games in November. I'm pretty sure they play up till like February.
Well, they play their last game of the OUA season. Of course, Concordia's, and I think they're at Quebec, but they have to make that trip on December 1st. And then the OUA team, yeah, all the way to February 9th, and then playoffs, of course. They have similar to, like, the NHL playoffs. They have series that they have to play. That takes up a lot of time. Like, it's not as student-athletes, it's a time-consuming sport.
Yeah.
I was talking to Acadia Carlson, the goalie of the women's team, and she says even if she has practice, let's say practice at 3, she has to get to the rink for – let's say 1:30, warm up, get dressed, go on the ice for 2 hours, 3 to 5, and she has to get changed, like after the practice, kind of cool down, do her stuff. So that's 6, and she's got to go home, shower, eat. You're looking at like a whole afternoon as far as time commitment goes.
Yeah, like as an NHL fan, watching the playoffs takes up enough time in my life as it is. So you gotta wonder how much it is for the players, but. I hope they do make a playoff push because, you know, they're losing the men's team. They were losing quite a few games up till recently. But I really want them to make that push. I feel like it'd be cool to cover a playoff game, see how the atmosphere differs.
Definitely. So big hockey guy. What about as far as the women's team? I don't know if you've called any.
Women's, I'm supposed to call some games in the future. I haven't called a game yet, so I am not as up to speed on them.
We'll take a look here. They have been their biggest issue is goal scoring. But their goaltending, like Acadia, is very good. They have another girl named Kayla, who's a very solid goaltender. They've, of course, played lots, just similar to the women's basketball team, lots of preseason. They dropped their home opener against Brock, beat Ontario Tech, then played Queens in my hometown, friend on that team. They won that game, Laurier did, 1-0. Then they beat Waterloo 3-1, which is a good to see in the Battle of Waterloo.
Absolutely.
Waterloo's a good team. And then they beat Western 1-0. So scoring a bit of an issue, but they have showed some promising games, like against Ontario Tech, they put up 4 goals. So hopefully that's something that can be kind of built upon as we go forward.
Yeah, definitely want to see both teams succeeding. I feel like it's the opposite for the men's, though. Like, I wouldn't say scoring is their issue, but in the D zone, you can kind of see
it's
them.
It's kind of an inverse thing.
For sure. They're just scrambling in there. And so that's what I see, like bad passes in their own end is what kind of spells the end of games for them. So kind of like two sides of a coin.
Now, is scoring one of those things? Like, did you play? You played hockey growing up?
I played a little bit, but like, you know, not anytime recently.
Okay.
Like,
you
I
just,
gave that
you
up.
You just love the sport.
Yeah. Big awesome. Watcher.
But as far as scoring goes and improving on scoring, is that something a team can work on? Or, like, I played hockey growing up. I kind of have some idea of the answer to this, but is it something a team can work on, or is it more that individual aspect of the offseason working to get better on your own game that can contribute, or is it a bit of both?
Well, it's definitely a bit of both. I mean, like, you know, in the off season, you as an individual, you can work on your shot. You can work on, you know, how aggressive you are on the forecheck, you know, picking pucks up along the boards. But then it's also about the system that your team runs, because, and me and Isaac, the play-by-play, Isaac Carmichael, we were talking about it. Like, we were just comparing how TMU plays versus Nipissing. And it's just TMU, they'd get in the zone, and their way of trying to get pucks on net was just, you get in quickly, they set up, and they just make really quick passes and really quick shots. Whereas Nipissing, it looked like from where we were standing, just looked like they were trying to make things happen on the rush. So in terms of offense, I think it really depends on the system, but also you as an individual. Like, if you can't finish, then you're not going to score. But yeah, so I definitely say it's a bit of both.
And that's the insight that I just did not have last year when I did York versus Laurier at the Sun Life Waterloo Memorial Athletic Complex. It was like the... With basketball, I get up there in the booth. I'll be okay. I can pick apart some basic offense and, like, just kind of explain things in simple terms. Hockey, it was a challenge. Like, I don't watch a ton of the NHL just because it bores me. And it's just not that interesting to me. I'm a Leafs fan. Who do you like?
I'm a Leafs fan as well.
Okay, all right.
Good thing.
Over that.
Yeah.
Bad beat against the Bruins last night.
Yeah, I didn't even. It was at the same time as the TMU game, so I was looking. I was seeing the score updates on my phone, and yeah, so
yeah, lost in a shootout to two kind of soft goals too.
That's right, and an injury as well.
Yeah,
like Brad Marchand injured one of our guys.
The first guy in Boston just came down and, like, it was basically a saucer pass to the, like, crossbar, and it just went in.
Oh yeah,
tough look. But anyway, it was like the game was moving and. Not slow motion, but the opposite of slow motion.
Yeah.
I wasn't speechless, but I just my play-by-play guy would throw it to me, and I was like, I don't know what to say right now.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, and I get those too, but I feel like most of my knowledge comes from watching the game for, like, such a long time compared to playing it, because, like, I stopped playing before I would, like, you know, actually start watching. I started watching around the World Cup of Hockey. That's when I really got into it. It was, like, 2016. That was Austin Matthews' first year. That was his first season.
World
so
juniors or world?
World champ or World Cup of Hockey. And they haven't done it since, which is rough. True. But it's like, it's kind of like a fake Olympics. But I mean, watching it, like, you definitely learn a lot of stuff. You listen to what they say and you observe things, like, as a viewer. And so even, like, having that knowledge from watching, I was still like, you know, he'd pass it to me my first game and I was like, what do I say? And I'd just say something for like 2 seconds and then there's just the silence. So I feel like it's more so you just got to rely on what you're observing, even if you don't have that much knowledge. Like when you say what you observe from that point of view, it still adds like a good amount of substance to the
same
commentary.
What you see kind of thing. Yeah. One of the things I always go to is like just throw it to the momentum conversation.
Yeah, momentum.
Say what's happened and then say how the momentum shifted. And
exactly.
What Laurier can do to get it back kind of thing.
Give them some pep in their step.
Exactly.
Little cliches when you need to fill the silence.
Exactly. I want to get your take on this. So my buddy is in kin, second year kin, and he has to write a mini reflection discussion post on why college athletes should not receive scholarships. And his stance on that is he completely disagrees and he feels like he should not have to write a reflection piece. But he threw some terminology, said the prof said that the athletes are inmates to the academic athletic system or something like that. But I think there's a bit of an exchange of goods in terms of being a student athlete. We're talking about the States.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, yeah, especially in the States, like, they get scholarships and they're providing, you know, publicity for the school, I would say. And, you know, probably a big part of their revenue comes from, you know, those ticket sales. So I think it's a fair kind of trade-off. You know, you excel at a sport, they give you a scholarship to kind of use your proficiency to you know, make money.
Or not even a sport, let's just call it a skill. Like, if I'm an extremely knowledgeable economist and the school gives me a scholarship to study economics at their school, that's just an exchange of goods.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You're just, like, treating, like, it's just, I think, that's a good way to think of it. Like, you think of the sport as a subject, kind of. Yeah, it's its own subject. And then I think, I would say That's an interesting paper to write, though.
Yeah. So he has to write 500 words. I told him to write 8,000. Huh. We'll see what he ends up doing with that. But let's loop back around to the FanDuel conversation, because I don't understand. I couldn't figure out if you're an avid.
I'm not. I haven't indulged in sports betting. I haven't. But lots of my friends, they're just really deep into it. And so my only take is that, I feel like you see advertisements and you think, okay, that's not really, like, it's not something that really sways me. Like, TV ads, like, I don't think that I've really many times been sold by a product on a TV ad. But then you see, like, you know, FanDuel and those other, like, sports books, and it's pumped so heavily. And it's clear that, you know, it's working to a degree because you see sports betting more and more prevalent, like, everywhere, like, with everybody. So that's just kind of an interesting thing that I noted. I haven't tapped into sports betting, any of those sports books. Would I? That remains to be seen. But I just think it's interesting how you know, those ads have kind of come out of nowhere and they sign, like, lots of big athletes, lots of big personalities.
Mm-hmm. My frustration with it is, if you're gonna do something, either do it for a specific reason. Don't do it for two or three reasons. So if you're gonna say, I'm gonna sports bet because I enjoy it, that's fine. I have no problem with you just saying, I'm gonna enjoy sports betting and that's what it is. I don't care if I lose this $100 I deposit. If you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to say, I'm doing sports betting so I can make money, also, I'm gonna think you're a little bit of an idiot, because I know I would bet that the people working at DraftKings are a lot smarter than the people you're trying to convince to ride your bets with you. I'm sure of that. But it's when the people say, I enjoy it and it's like profitable. I just don't believe that, and I'm just sick of hearing about it. Again, that's just my frustration with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. Because for me, I don't think, like, I'd be very comfortable, like, making that big a risk because, like, sports is so unpredictable. Like, I'd probably never bet on the Leafs, because sometimes they'll sit down and be like, wow, this one's in the bag, and then it's out of the bag. But now some of my friends, like, I came home to my dorm one day, and they're dorm sitting. Guy. Sorry? Yeah, I'm a dorm sure. guy. And they've got three laptops with the Lakers-Clippers game on. And just the swing of emotions for every bucket, because they bet, like, I don't even think they use a sports book, but they've just, like, you know, bet with each other on it. And I feel like that's kind of a gateway as well. But I don't know if I agree. I think it could be a mix of both. Like, because I think you enjoy a sport and that's the sport that you're going to try and make money on, like, primarily.
Right. Like, I just think the lines are so structured that in the long run, you're just not going to. You're probably not going to be profitable. Like, if you look at something like blackjack, if you play blackjack with perfect strategy, you have a 49.5% edge in the casino, or the dealer, or whatever, has a 50.5% just because of how the game's structured.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think, you're right about that. Like, it's definitely in the long run not the most profitable thing, but maybe it's more so they like the idea of making money as well as, like, betting on the team that they like.
Making money or winning money. I think it's...
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a distinction there. But anyway, I'm... Obviously, you can probably tell I don't.
Yeah.
And that's not to say I don't, like, gamble at all, because, like, when I go play golf, like, whatever, I'll throw $20 on the round or whatever. But as far as... I just feel like such a consumer when I'm hearing about those sites. It just seems like they're reeling you in with a free bet.
I think it's really predatory, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did an assignment for one of my business courses.
Which business course?
It's BU 111.
Oh,
it's BU 111.
The big guy.
Our live case assignment is about case, yeah, parachute. Like, yeah, yeah. And so I just had to do a great amount of research, 8 weeks of research in 48 hours.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
They're telling everyone they have to do. What is 8 weeks of research? Is that an hour a day? Is that?
I don't know, but from the second that we got into. Classic. The first lecture is like, all right, you should be starting on that. We're not starting on that. But
like, how I didn't start on finance until about yesterday.
Yeah, so, you know, parallels there. But, you know, so much research about fintechs, and yeah, that's like financial technology companies and their lending. And so I think, you know, it's kind of like a parallel there with sports betting as well. I think it's just pretty predatory in nature to make money.
sort of similar to like Wealthsimple.
That was it last year, right?
Those referrals.
Yeah, it's like the thing with Parachute is they were trying to differentiate themselves from that predatory stance. But then lots of the people I've talked to are like, okay, how are you going to make money then? But that's none of my business.
Well, I think you'll figure out in the case once you get the groups going that
for sure
everyone's going to end up suggesting. Is this a sports show? I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
I don't care. I love where this conversation's going. Do we want to loop it back to sports for a second? Because there is
for
a
sure
matchup
loop it back.
Tonight. Women's hockey taking on Windsor in Windsor. And then you have Laurier taking on Guelph at 7:30 in Guelph for the men's rugby team.
Mm-hmm.
The Guelph team has had Laurier's number as far as they just seem to be they just have been the most dominant team. Laurier's kind of been that second team in the OUA for a long time. But you never know, one game could completely change things.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a win there. My Don, my dorm Don is on the rugby team.
Oh, really? What's his name?
Jesse.
Jesse.
He's a guy.
Jesse.
Good luck, Jesse.
Yeah. Jesse, he's gonna score a couple tries. I think that's the terminology.
I'm sure it is. I don't doubt you.
He must be a busy guy if he's donning and on the rugby
team. Yeah, he's always, you know, grinding at those late hours, sitting on a table, making sure nobody comes in for Halloween.
Yeah.
And then leaving it all on the old rugby pitch.
Mm-hmm, the pitch. What did you go up for, dress up for as Halloween?
I went as a referee.
Okay.
You can see my dedication to the sports
a big hockey guy.
Industry.
Like
yeah. Referee. Because I feel like it wasn't too. What'd you go as?
I'm pretty late. I went as LeBron James and Kobe Bryant.
Oh, that's valid. And Kobe Bryant.
I went out on the Saturday, and then on the Tuesday, I went in for the festivities.
So did you just switch Lakers jerseys?
Yes, I have two of them. I'm not even a Lakers fan, so it's kind of funny. I just got good deals on these. So,
I saw someone dressed. I don't remember. You ever see High School Musical?
Oh yeah.
The guy on the Wildcats. He was dressed in a Wildcats jersey.
Which one?
Chad? Yeah, Chad. I saw someone dressed as Chad. Sorry. Yeah, he had the hair going and everything.
That's a good costume.
It was pretty sick. But yeah, I think like when push comes to shove, like when in doubt, just throw on a jersey and you're going as that guy for Halloween.
Yeah, and I'm not a Halloween guy.
Me neither.
I understand the appeal of. I think it's a good idea, and I like the people who like Halloween, like when they get really committed. I saw Pete Carroll, head coach, costume, and that was awesome. He was like super gung ho about it. That was cool. But for me personally, just not a Halloween guy. But I tried. I took part.
I am, like, hypothetically, like, I get such good ideas, I'm gonna do so-and-so, but then the date kind of sneaks up on you, and it's so much work to put something together, and it's just for one day, so I'm not really a Halloween guy either, but when I think about it, like, a month before, I'm a big Halloween guy. As we get closer to him, like,
in theory, you're a big
exactly, in theory, that's what right? That's what I was looking for, actually.
It was interesting, too, because Halloween on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that was rough.
My two roommates went out on a Thursday, people going out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I saw people out Monday. And then it's like, it's Tuesday. We've been doing this for 6 days now almost. So I think everyone had fun. I hope everyone stayed safe.
Halloween weekend really stretched it, like really stretched that Halloween festivities out. Lots of people went out on the Saturday. I couldn't because I was working on that live case. But
right, that was due on the Sunday.
It was due on the Sunday.
Just and locked in. What a great first year athlete.
Program. Absolutely. Just in Lazaritas Hall until 5 a.m.
Whoa.
As one does on Halloween.
That's a late one.
Halloween weekend.
I would be remiss to not mention the OUA golf season. Last year, I did a deep dive. I think it was with Nick, and he was asking me lots of questions. I'll just give the spark notes of the Laurier golf season. Honestly, girls, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna like really mention you too much besides the last event. First event, St. Thomas Western's event, we won. That was pretty cool. Had a good time. Next two events, we didn't play too well, Brock's and McMaster. Then we had our home event, which we finished third at. Again, we should have won that one. Should've, would've, could've, should've. And then had Guelph event. We actually tied for first, but lost in a retrogression. Sort of, you know what retrogression
is? I have no idea what that means, but
so
enlighten me.
Golf, it's you have five players playing on.
All right.
Four of them count each day. The retrogression just means like a way to settle a tie. So our four guys and Waterloo's four guys were tied, like our totals. So it goes to the fifth guy, and their fifth guy played better than our fifth guy.
Oh, so that's just that's a rough way to go
sorry,
out.
Sorry, Liam, but you kind of costed us that one. And then so that was Guelph's. Then we went to so then we're coming up on reading week. That's the Monday before reading week.
Right.
We go to Windsor on the Saturday and Sunday. We actually went to a Leafs Red Wings game, like a preseason game.
Oh, the preseason.
In Detroit, which is cool. So we won. We actually won the Ambassador Tournament by like 25 shots or something. It was pretty convincing. So one gold there. Then we go home for reading week, come back. OUA's, Grace Sila, Waterloo, we're all hyped up. We don't play great on the first day. We're kind of in the mix, but not really on the second day. And ended up losing. It came third, so we got OUA bronze. The girls won. The girls won OUA gold team. A girl on my team, Lauren Bevan, OUA individual gold. And then another girl on my team, Christy, OUA bronze.
There's a girl shout out.
So it was a convincing little run. I kind of backdoored a second, which was nice. I wanted to win so bad, but anyway, it was a good season overall. We couldn't complain.
Yeah, good stuff.
Are you a big golfer? Or no,
I'm not a big golfer, but the past summer, like this past summer, a lot, like just I've seen so many people hit the driving range. Like it's just kind of taken over as soon as they hopped out of high school. Just let's go to the driving range. Let's go golfing. DJ Khaled.
Golf takes over. Like university kids, people coming out of university that just are looking for something to do. Golf is awesome.
I'm not against golf whatsoever. I'd go golfing.
Yeah.
I'd for sure go golfing. Seems like a great pastime.
100%. For me, it's all the time.
Yeah, great all time.
I was in co-op this summer, and I played every day after work. I'll let you take a guess how many rounds I got in according to my official index. Or whatever.
According to your official index? I'm not even going to guess. You let me know.
No, time. You, so let's say I started May 1st.
Okay.
And I finished playing.
Oh, so you're, how many in total?
How many rounds?
So you started in May and you finished when?
Mid-October.
Let's say 300.
Three hundred is an insanely high guess.
Let's say 300. How high is it?
Let me break down this math.
Yeah, break it down.
365 days in a year.
Yep.
I worked full time.
Yep. We're after work.
Okay, yeah, after work.
Yeah.
I said I played from about May 1st to October 15th.
I didn't even do the mental math there. I just kind of threw something.
No, that's fine.
For that half a year.
You threw a number out there, and the number of...
Was that like 5 months?
It'd be like if I came home and I said to you, I was like, guess how much I got this shirt for? And you go, 11 cents. Like...
All right, what's the number? What's the number?
111 rounds.
100. That's not too far off, I feel like. We're in the hundreds. We're in the triple digits.
True.
It's just semantics. Like, what's the first number?
Yeah.
So I basically got it.
Three numbers wrong.
So but three digits.
Yes, you got.
And 300 starts with a three. So did I get the number?
But you could have guessed two.
Yeah, but
200 something.
But that's less than the amount of digits that are in the. I'm going to say I got it right. I think that was a great guess on my part, and I'll take it home with me. OUA golden.
If you're guessing
numbers.
If you answered that on like a EC120 midterm, I don't know if you're getting the mark.
EC120 midterm.
Do we want to just like drop our mark right now?
We didn't get the marks back.
Oh. Okay.
But you can drop your mark.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
You can drop.
What about BU111? I'd prefer to drop that one.
Okay, you drop yours first.
Okay, I'm gonna write it down on a piece of paper.
All right, you write it down on a piece of paper.
Are you gonna write yours down?
Because how am I gonna write?
This is such a beat. This is such a beat.
Oh, I can.
My cursor's literally on it right now.
Okay, where are we?
I didn't do.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we're dealing with.
I'll write mine down now.
Are we gonna say them out loud, or are we just gonna like know them and nobody else?
We can say them out loud. You can look at mine first and let me know if you want to compare.
I'm gonna base that off of what you.
Yeah. Take a gander.
I get like a 90. Okay. Yeah, we're not gonna say them out loud. Actually. There's a slight discrepancy.
Not too far off.
There's a bit of a delta variant going on.
For the BU 111 midterm, I had never felt so peer pressured to study before.
I'm toxic, isn't it?
Yeah, because even my roommate, I'd be like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going to study. And it's like, okay, I'll see you later. And he comes back at 5 a.m.
Those people, I've never met your roommate, but those people suck.
I'm like, it's just all these, there's so many people staying up all night. They're on the whiteboards and stuff, just kind of grinding away. And I just don't want to do that. I'm not really into that.
Because when they get the mark back, if it's bad, then they can tell everyone they studied for 86 hours straight. And it's just, that doesn't matter. The mark you get is just what you deserve. It doesn't matter how much you study. They don't really care.
That's true.
I had a midterm last weekend. I didn't hardly study it at all. Granted, it was HR. And just got kind of the mark I deserved. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. And I'm just, like, cool with that. Like, it's just what I kind of got. It's not a whole big thing about how much you studied. And
yeah, no, I didn't process what day it was until it was on the Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
And I figured out that it was on the Saturday on the Monday.
I'm like, oh. That's normal.
So I started studying, I think, the Thursday and the Friday were the 2 days I studied. And I'm like, okay, the lectures, you just kind of sit there and it's like, you know, whatever. But I got it all internalized. I'm like, okay, we're good. You get the mark you get, and it's just kind of behind me now.
We got some health sci students just like cussing us out right now.
Yeah, I mean, but sorry to like, y'all. The other midterms though, I haven't studied as aggressive, and I didn't even study super aggressively, but I've just dialed it back because now I've broken the ice in terms of midterms.
Yeah, I know what to expect.
Exactly.
So let's move on. We're gonna jump into a segment. Remember how I was talking about it was just a struggle for content last year?
Yeah.
So this is a segment I kind of picked up off of the Brilliantly Dumb Show, which is a show I listen to weekly.
All right.
Called the Buy and Sell segment. All right. I'm going to let you guess what you think it is.
Okay. So
Buy and sell
segment. I feel like you didn't appreciate my last guess, like in the last guessing game. Buy and sell segment.
I didn't.
I don't know. Buy and sell.
Okay. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah. Give me a hint.
Think like
an economist?
Kind of, yes, but like now applied to like an actual fun situation. Anyway, the buy and sell segment is basically what are you buying this week and what are you selling? So buying is something that you like
have seen
that's like kind of cool and like you want to invest in.
Yeah.
And then sell is like what's tanking? What do you just
want to get rid of it?
What are you not about?
All right.
So I'll let you think of a couple. I'll start off with a buy. I'm going to buy the student athlete like body. So I was at the basketball game on Wednesday, and I do this thing like I help run Golden Hawk Council, which is like an athlete volunteer group.
Yeah,
and we do this thing called Varsity Battles, and it's basically how much support you can show for the other teams that you're not a part of at games. So I was standing there talking to my golf coach, just happened to be there, and I saw the swim team all grouped up, and they actually took a picture and sent it in to like the submission for the Varsity Battles to get points. So I thought that was super cool. Got some kind of momentum around the whole like students, like supporting students kind of thing.
For sure, like more tightly knit.
Just like going back and forth, making some new friends with people on the other teams has been fun, and it's just good vibes.
That's pretty insightful.
Yeah.
A buy for me. I don't want to be redundant, but I'm buying into the Laurier men's hockey playoff push. I think.
Okay.
I want it to happen. Well, I don't have the expertise on that body to, you know, determine or to say will it happen or not, but I want it to happen. I feel like as someone who's, you know, calling a good amount of those games, mm-hmm. I'm really excited to kind of experience how
different. Will them to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having me as an asset, that should get them going. But you know, that's my buy.
You're just an appreciating asset because the more games you do, the better you call.
I would say so. I think you put that really perfectly.
I think one of the things you could do, if you want to get involved in the, like the Radio Laurier like whole culture, is reaching out to one of the players for a little interview and maybe doing a little write up in the Cord. Is that out of the question?
We were actually, I believe we were talking about, you know, because we wanted to kind of get more of a. More, you know, kind of school spirit in terms of like all sports this season. And so, you know, kind of reaching out to those players, getting some pregame, postgame, or just, you know, talking to them in general. And that's something you can, you know, you get some insight that you can kind of bring up here, like right now on the show.
Yeah.
and stuff you can bring up on the broadcast. And like, I definitely agree with that. Like, I feel it would definitely, you know, reaching, having a direct communication between like, you know, the radio and then those student athletes, and being able to like tie that back to their game is definitely something that could, you know, make it a bit more tightly knit, just bring everything together. Yeah. So yeah,
or even get the social media firing. Like, we could throw up some clips if you got, even if it's just audio, we could just a little bit of insight, a little bit of outreach to the different athletes and like different people that are just interested in Laurier hockey. So big buy for the Laurier program. I like that. I like it a lot.
Yeah, roll the program.
Roll it. A sell for me is overly aggressive salespeople.
Yeah.
I was walking in the concourse the other day, and there was some, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
What is it, Neo or Neo?
Yeah, Neo.
These guys.
Oh my goodness.
They are on me. I'm walking in, my headphones in, I'm bopping out, I'm going to class, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they just attack me. I don't even know what they're selling.
I have no idea what Neo is, and I don't really care to learn.
I'm like, I don't want you to invest my savings into a 4% growth fund just so you can like acquire me as a customer. Like, I don't really care about the return I'm gonna get on my spending cash.
And
I don't even know if that's what they do, but
I have no idea.
I think it's something along those lines. So I go to class, right? I get this interaction. I'm all mad because like it's just annoying. Like, just go away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I'm on my way back and I see the lady approaching me again, and she's about to say something. I go, oh, hi, how's your day going? And she goes, oh, it's good. I'm like, oh, I'm so happy to hear that. You have a nice day, don't you? And then I just walk.
And you just walk off. That's a great way to for me, my first run-in with Neo was like a week, or it was the week after.
Great week.
Yeah, but I was just, you know, kind of fish out of water, new on the block.
I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know what a concourse was, but I'm walking through it. And I think I was going to pick up an Amazon package from that locker. And yeah. I just, hey, can I talk to you about Neo? And it's this guy. The guy's with a woman. And he's just like, dude, I got to go to class.
Yeah. I'm sure they're working off commission. They must
be. Yeah, I don't know. But he's like, yeah, sure. Okay. And I told the lady talking to me too. I'm like, I got to go to class. She's like, fine. Yeah, whatever. And she's talking to other people. And I'm at the locker. And the locker's like, you know, right in that same place where they're set up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm grabbing my package. And I come back the other way, literally 2 minutes later. And she starts trying to sell me again. Like, she's never seen me. They just see red. And it's like, yeah, you've never seen me before. And she's like, oh, you use Amazon, right? And I'm like, how are you going to relate Amazon to, like, no. I was about to throw my package aside. I just kept walking. I didn't even acknowledge her.
So, Neo, spend, track, and move money with ease. Okay. I have a bank account that does that.
Yeah.
Save. Grow your money and reach goals with high interest savings. Everyone has a high interest savings account right now because the interest rates are so crazy that everyone can just invest and earn 4%. And it's in like TSX or whatever. And then earn instant unlimited rewards on all your, anyway,
it's
whatever.
It's way too aggressive. Have you ever had that happen to you at the mall?
I don't frequent the mall. I don't work there like you do. So
I
avoid the mall like a plague.
I worked the mall. I was actually with a customer once, and he was telling me how he got kind of not scammed, but you know,
bombarded.
Yeah, bombarded, and he ended up like buying some perfume, and I'm like, oh, buddy, you're a rookie.
Well, at the end of the day, like I say it's a sell, overly aggressive salespeople. Also, just like alpha content in general. Like, I'm the best salesman there is. Like, all right, buddy. At the end of the day, you can just choose not to spend the money.
Yeah, you just gotta like, you gotta show some willpower.
Have a backbone. And then the salespeople going like, if this product were perfect, what, like, if it's not about money, why aren't you, anyway?
Yeah, like,
whatever,
guys. You're not gonna sway me with your words. But it definitely takes some, because I know there's a lot of people who fold to that, and you just gotta believe in yourself and maybe put your headphones in and just make a beeline to where you're going.
Yes.
Don't look around.
And don't be afraid to be a little bit rude, because they're the ones, being a little bit rude.
And they're just gonna, like, you can be rude to them because they're just gonna be like, all right, there's a dud. And then, you know, prey on someone else who walks by. So it's like, yeah, no, I don't mess with that either.
Any other buys or sells? I got one more queued up.
Give me yours, because I'm kind of blanking.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie.
A buy is the game of badminton.
Badminton. Oh, it's a buy. Okay.
I'm invested. And one thing about me is I get super into things.
Okay.
Last year during the show, I was just like I would ask our producer, I was like, give me a country in the world, I'll name you the capital.
Yeah.
Like very nerdy stuff like that. But badminton is my like interest right now. Wait.
If I gave you a country right now, could you name the capital?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that. Well, this is not Ecuador.
Ecuador is Quito.
Okay. I know that. I know that from Spanish class.
Pardon?
I know that from Spanish class. That's not even too hard though. But okay. Yeah, no, continue.
We can like set the segment aside for maybe like next show or whatever, but because I'm down to do it. Like I love it.
The capital thing?
But it also feels like a bit of a, like, oh, look at me. And yeah, I mean, I kind of am saying that, but.
You want to spread out your showing off, like, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Between shows, but okay, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a good
There's
one.
There's a bit of a lag time, but I'll get it.
Okay, I feel like this is easy though. I don't. Well, what's your specialty?
Think of a hard country.
Well, I don't really know hard ones because I'm not.
You don't know all the countries.
I'm not really tapped into capitals like you. Venezuela.
Venezuela is Caracas.
Okay.
So you're doing okay.
Yeah,
you're
no, I'm really versed in South America.
Like, holy. Yeah. So what was I saying? Oh yeah, get really into things. Talk about the cardio workout though. Me and my buddy started playing like 2 weeks ago. We were gassed the first couple sets we played. And then all of a sudden we played like 3 to 5 today and we're going pretty hard and we're not that tired. So I hopefully it translates to like open gym basketball kind of thing. So I can just jump right into it.
Open gym badminton. One thing, just this summer, I was never a big tennis guy.
Yeah.
But me and like a good friend of mine, we kind of got indoctrinated into tennis play in the summer.
What a word.
I know.
What a word.
Yeah, I know. I just kind of, you know, like to sprinkle that type of stuff in there. But yeah, we just got sucked into the tennis game. And it was just every summer night, hey, you want to run some tennis?
Yeah, sure.
And it's definitely a cardio workout because you're just, you know, the side-to-side movement and the back and forth, like it's localized in a really, you know, close square, but it's still like pretty significant. But that kind of changed my life in the summer. I was like, yeah, let's go play tennis.
Yeah.
Have nothing to do.
Also, for me, as someone who's not like a huge gym guy, but likes to like be active and like sports and stuff, it feels good. It just feels good to like sweat and just go and get some cardio in and just feel
No, I'm definitely
good.
The same. Like, I'd much rather like be playing something and exercise that way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, tennis. I'm a big biking guy too. We just like, you know, nighttime bikes, nighttime tennis. I feel like the nighttime really adds to the atmosphere.
A nighttime run hits too.
For sure. Oh, but I took some nighttime jogs around campus. Like not like around campus, but a bit on the outskirts of campus.
Sure.
And I don't know, like I like it and you know, it's good to sweat, but I also don't want people to think like I'm chasing them down the sidewalk, which is like
a factor. I think you can counteract that with just a bit of a wardrobe decision. If you look like a runner and you got the headphones and maybe the high socks or something, you can really like just negate that threat.
As it gets chillier though, like, you know, you got to kind of, the options in order to like identify as a runner becomes less and less of something you can kind of control. I got a windbreaker going.
Okay.
And I got like, you know, some running shoes on and some light colored jogger. Cause you know, you got black jogger, black windbreaker, you're going to look like a problem, like respectfully.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try my best
get
to
get some colorful shorts maybe.
Maybe.
Cause I think you can commit to shorts. You can commit to shorts till at least the end of November, even if it is pretty chilly.
Maybe if I'm that serious, I'll transition back to shorts just for the safety of everybody around me.
Well, that's good that you're looking out for them, especially if you're down King, like up near the bar area. Like you want to look like the running nerd, not the guy chasing you.
That's what, or maybe I'll get one of those like headphone things that hold like a water bottle.
My sister has that.
Well, if she could lend me that, because I feel like, you know, you see someone running at you with that. Well, it's either they're a jogger, they're like actually crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how I carry on with it.
I like it. All right. Can I share one last? We're going to wrap up here in a second, but can I share one last storyline with you?
Yeah, I guess you can.
All right.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Shut up first year. All right. Here we go. I'll just read you the headline, then we'll get into the specifics. All right. A 104-year-old woman dies before Guinness can confirm her record as the oldest skydiver.
I think I saw that.
This girl looks like she's 104, maybe even 110.
Let me see.
Yeah. Just got the glasses that, going, got everything.
Rocking. I don't think she looks a day over 98.
Oh, someone's got a crush. Anyway, she's gone now. Oh, that was dark. So she died a little more than a week after potentially breaking the world record.
Rest in peace.
Let's play the guessing game again. How high do you think she jumped from out of a plane in feet?
Okay, I don't even...
I feel like, I know, this is why it's going to be
funny. Okay. in feet. Okay.
Okay, I was going to say like 300,000 feet.
Is that not a good guess?
I didn't say it was a bad guess.
Let's say like, man, yo, just, help me out here.
Someone I'm just picturing, you know, the guy that jumps from like basically space, like the Red Bull thing.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing you guessing that high.
Okay. I'm going to say 140,000 feet.
Okay. Not even close.
So what is it?
13,000 feet.
That was my second guess.
Oh, sure.
No. I meant to say 14,000. I added 10X, an extra zero.
You 10X the actual answer.
I was crunching the numbers wrong.
The funniest part of this whole thing is her last name's Hoffner. It reads at the very end, Hoffner made her first jump at the age of 100.
Well, you so gotta this start
girl
somewhere.
At some point she was like, I'm just my life is in my hands. I don't give a damn about anything. I'm just gonna jump from space, basically.
Maybe that sort of, you know, activity is what adds years onto the lifespan.
The adrenaline just kicks yeah. your
I'm thinking if she didn't have that revelation at 100 that, you know, I wanna jump out of a plane
she's
now.
She's gone at 102, yeah. is what you're saying.
So props to her for taking yeah. charge of her life, you know. Lived, that's kind of crazy because 40 years, 40, 80, 120, add
taken,
a little bit.
Taken, she was like old during World War II, like my, yeah. like older than me, I am now.
Because like you get to a certain age where you're old, but then as you keep going, you're just still old and you're just old. Yeah.
The most fascinating thing to me is this philanthropist from Kingston who was worth like $1 billion died and he died at 103.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, thank you. He donated lots to charity. Anyway, when this guy was 70 years old, he had 33 years left in his life, and he was already 70.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, because you're 70, you live to 100. Retired. That's a whole nother, like...
That's a good life.
30 years. Like, you could...
Short one.
You could live and you could start a new career in that 30 years.
Yeah.
Or a new, like... I don't want to say career. You could start a new, like... I don't know.
He took advantage of that compound interest, to say the least.
For sure.
Yeah.
As we all should.
As we all should. Go maybe explore your options with Neo and maybe yeah. get involved with them. A little free advertisement for them.
You're welcome,
on
Neo.
On the Talk the Hawk show.
But maybe get some new agents out there because these ones have left a poor taste in my mouth. I don't know.
Maybe they're good. Maybe they have some good managers or some poor employees or some poor training tactics.
Maybe they should give out food. If Neo gave me food, I'd be more inclined to hear them out.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's the return on investment. Is the investment in food worth it?
That's a great, well.
Not to BVA out on all of you guys.
It's supposed to be the weekend, so.
It is the weekend. It's Friday. It's about 7 p.m. I got a midterm tomorrow. There's a Laurier Sports going on all weekend. This has been Talk the Hawk. First episode back. So great to be back. And we'll see you next week. Go Hawks.